Copper Platinum Jubilee. We spoke on this hymn, and we're going to sing it again this morning. The words of hymn number 6, the words will be on the screen. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. We'll stand together after we get the introduction and sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Seated. We'll come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. We still our hearts, silence ourselves in his presence just now. Eternal God and our Father, we come to thee today. And O God, we come to thee as a people and as a nation in sorrow and grief and with heaviness of heart. We come, O God, today to give thee thanks for the life and the reign of our late Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. We thank thee, O God, for her. We thank thee, Lord, for the manner in which she carried out her duties for over 70 years as our monarch. We thank thee, Lord, for the reign and, Lord, for the leadership that she gave, not only in our nation, but in many nations of the Commonwealth and indeed across the world as well. And O God, we thank thee today that we can come before the one who is alive and alive forevermore. We can come, Lord, to bring her family before thee today. Heavenly Father, we would remember especially our new king, King Charles III. Remember him and his dear family at this time. Lord, while we as a people and as a nation mourn, we realize, O God, that there's a family who are mourning today, mourning the loss of a dear mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, one who loved her family so dearly and so much. And even though she had many responsibilities to carry out, yet, O God, we thank thee for her attention and her devotion to her family. And we realize, O Lord, today that in the royal family there is a tremendous loss. And so, God, we pray that today our king and the entire royal family at this time will know the God of all comfort and the God of all grace to be their stay. Lord, while they have to carry out their civic and national responsibilities, give them grace, O God, to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless all the plans and preparations in readiness for Her Majesty's funeral. We just ask, O God, in the midst of all this darkness, may the light of the gospel shine forth. And O God, we pray today for our nation. We ask, O God, that as a people, we might turn our eyes to the Lord. We thank the Lord for the faith of Her Majesty. We thank the Lord for how she sought to lead our nation in the ways of God. We thank the Lord for her standards and for her morals. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today that the memory of the just will continue to be blessed. We pray, Lord, you'll bless in this little service of thanksgiving. Bless us as a congregation today, we pray. And O God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our land. We ask, O God, in the midst of the sorrow and the grief that is so evident around us, we pray, Lord, that each one might find and know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the great King of kings and Lord of lords, to be their Savior and to be their strength at this time. We pray, Lord, you'll do our hearts good. Meet with us today and presence thyself with us in a very particular way. We pray, Lord, that everything that would take place this morning may be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. Hear and answer prayer just now. We ask it in the name of our Savior, great King and Head of the Church, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our nation this week was plunged into national sorrow and grief with the news on Thursday evening of the death of our sovereign, Queen Elizabeth II. For 70 years, Her Majesty reigned and gave unstinting and unparalleled service, not only to our nation, but also to the many nations of the Commonwealth. She was the longest reigning British monarch in history. And many of us had the joy a few months back of celebrating her Platinum Jubilee. I suppose, if we're honest, there was that part of all of us that thought the Queen would always be with us. Seeing the photograph of her on Thursday past with our new Prime Minister gave us a little reassurance, although obviously frail. Yet I don't think any of us really thought that a few days later we would be hearing the sad news of her passing. Our nation will certainly be the poorer for her passing. Throughout her reign, Her Majesty reigned with dignity. She never put a foot wrong. She was dignified and honorable throughout her years of service to our nation. She reigned with humility. Her life was a life of selfless service, humbly dedicated to the people of this nation. She reigned with majesty. She was very aware of her position as sovereign and sought to fulfill her role with great respect and esteem for her position. Many of us never met the Queen, but all of us felt like we knew her personally. She was a mother and grandmother to so many of us. And we all feel today like we have lost a member of our close family. Today we gather to give thanks to Almighty God for the life and the service of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. We also gather to pray for our new monarch, King Charles III. We pray for his family and for him at this time of their personal loss and grief. But we also pray that he would seek to follow in his late mother's footsteps and lead our nation in the ways of God as Queen Elizabeth did. And not only out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of desire, we say, God save the King. I want to read a statement on behalf of the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. It reads that it was with the deepest sadness on Thursday evening, the 8th of September 2002, that the ministers and ruling elders and members of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster learned of the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. As a church, we lament the passing of a monarch who ruled for over 70 years with dignity, wisdom, and diligence. We thank God for her exemplary personal public conduct as a monarch and for the stability that she brought to our nation over seven decades of her illustrious reign. As a denomination, we express to the royal household our sincerest sympathy. Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2 commands the Christian church to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Therefore, we will be interceding for Her Majesty's family, praying that the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort will impart to their hearts the true consolation of the grace and gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At her coronation, June the 2nd, 1953, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland presented the new Queen with a copy of the Scriptures and said, "Our gracious Queen, to keep Your Majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. It is still the Holy Bible that carries the infallible message of God for the royal family, for our nation, and the entire Commonwealth. True comfort in life and in death is found in Christ Jesus alone. The gospel declares, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Our presbytery will be writing to the new King to express our sympathy and sorrow on behalf of our denomination and to assure him of our prayers. And also, there will be a special magazine produced by the presbytery to mark the Queen's reign, and will be available in due course. At this stage, can I ask the congregation please to stand for a minute's silence as we silently and stilly remember the life and the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. number of floral tributes. First of all, on behalf of our church and our congregation here in Sandown, one of our ruling elders, Mr. Ronnie Whiteside, will lead and lay a floral tribute. After that, we've asked some of our children to lay floral tributes as well. And then others who wish and have brought floral tributes as well, you're more than welcome to do so as well. Thank you. Others are more than welcome to lay as well. Thank you, Gavin. may be seated. We are delighted and honoured to have a Member of Parliament for East Belfast with us today, a friend of ours, a friend of our congregations, our brother Mr. Gavin Robinson. He's going to come now and bring his own personal tribute to Her Majesty. Thank you.
Good morning. It is an honour to join with you all this morning, and I'm incredibly grateful to the Reverend Wilson for organising such a poignant and a special service this Sabbath day. At times of sovereign succession, there's an important, succinct phrase used most privately and solemnly by members of the immediate royal family, and in turn, in unison across the nation and across the Commonwealth. The Queen is dead. Long live the King. It's stark. It's a brutal declaration that our sovereign's time amongst us has come to an end, but with the calming reassurance of what is to come. A reminder that continuity is a key component of our enduring constitutional monarchy. And yet over the last 70 years, we've been blessed that Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, has embodied that continuity herself. An ever-present matriarch who provided stability at times of crisis, comfort at times of concern, and joy during communal celebration. I have been struck over the last few days by how many people have expressed just how personal the death of Her Majesty feels. This is not the loss of someone remote, someone distant, or someone of little consequence. She developed an enduring relationship with us all. As a young princess, she famously vowed that her whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to our service. She invested in us, and in turn, we invested in her. Over 70 glorious years, all of us, whether young or old, will have our own special memories of visits, events or occasions that were all the more special for her presence. I recall the first occasion I had the privilege of meeting Her Majesty personally when she visited Northern Ireland as part of her Diamond Jubilee tour in 2012. Lunching at Titanic Belfast, she appeared captivated by the history and the legacy of our maritime industry before embarking on that special drive through the grounds of Stormont Estate in an open-top Range Rover accompanied by the Duke of Edinburgh, adorned with all the pageantry and the red, white and blue we could muster. But beyond that grandeur and the glamour of monarchy, it's been wonderful to hear countless reflections of Her Majesty's wit. With her beautiful smile, she had the amazing quality to disarm the most nervous of guests, making them comfortable in her presence and at ease with her status. Nothing caught that more brilliantly than the sketch she performed with the adventurous Paddington Bear. Did you see it? Her Majesty invited Paddington Bear to what can only be described as the most chaotic of afternoon teas. The one thing they had in common, perhaps the only thing they had in common, was that they were unfailingly courteous. So having drained all the tea and devoured all the cakes, Paddington graciously offered Her Majesty that spare sandwich from his famous hat. That kind offer led to jaws dropping across the nation when we discovered the revelation that Her Majesty kept her own sandwich in her even more famous Launer leather handbag. But as the band struck up outside, heralding the commencement of our Platinum Jubilee celebrations, for 70 years well served, Paddington stopped, and he spoke for us all when he said, "Thank you for everything." And at that time, that sketch was funny and gloriously unexpected, but it was rather emotional. And when they replayed it again, and I was watching it on Thursday evening, it was even more poignant to hear the gratitude expressed by a humble bear from darkest Peru. And through all the tributes that have been paid, there is a common theme, and Reverend Wilson has referred to many of them already. Gracious, steadfast, dutiful, constant, kind. She did something special because she was guided by something special. Above all else, her reign and her legacy should be framed by her faith. Yes, her position of the Supreme Governor of the Church of England and Defender of the Faith was and will remain an important monarchical title. But she lived it. She breathed it. She embodied the loving kindness and the spiritual awareness of somebody who lived her love of and her devotion to Jesus Christ. How blessed have we been that our head of state demonstrated most deeply and most profoundly the benefits of salvation. She served us so well because through it all, she served him so well. In the House of Commons each day, we commence with this prayer. Lord, the God of righteousness and truth, grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament, and to all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit. May they never lead the nation wrongly, through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals, but laying aside all private interest and prejudice, keep in mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all mankind. So may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. We should give thanks for Her Majesty, for her reign, and for her faithfulness. And if I may close with just a short verse of scripture from Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."
And I want to thank Gavin for coming and bringing his own personal tribute to us today. I want to thank all who have joined with us this morning for this special service of thanksgiving. We appreciate your presence and your support here today. To each and to all, you're very, very welcome. Also to those who are watching online as well. And in thanking our brother Gavin, we also want to thank our piper, Sir Francis Strain, for being with us today. Both came at very short notice, and I appreciate their busyness today. So thank you for coming today. Just very briefly, I want to go through some announcements. I'll keep them short. We'll elaborate a little more on some later on tonight. But just to remember, today, Missionary Council retiring offering, please. 2:30, Sunday school over in the Redburn Community Centre recommences today. And then at 6:30, we have another special service here in the church. We trust that you'll join with us this evening as one of our young men, one of our young people, our brother Adam Kennedy, starts out in life as a Bible College student. Adam will be starting the Whitfield College of the Bible this coming week, and we're having a special service to mark that tonight. And we trust that you'll join with us. We want you to come back and join with us. Bring others with you and encourage Adam by your prayers and by your support tonight. Our sister Charlotte Coffey will be here to sing. Adam will testify, and I will bring a closing word. During the meeting tonight, there'll be a special offering lifted, and that will go entirely as a love gift to Adam to help him with his expenses, and so that will take place during the meeting tonight. And there'll be supper served afterwards as well. Just very quickly, some of the other announcements. Bible Club, Explorers Bible Club, recommences on Tuesday night. New time, 6:30. 6:30 for the Explorers Bible Club. And also our prayer meeting, Bible study on Tuesday night at 8:00. Youth Fellowship here in the church on Friday night at 8:00 as well. All the services, normal times, 11:30, 6:30, both preceded by the half hour of prayer. And also Sunday school in the morning, 10:15, and Bible class, and Sunday school in the afternoon as well in Redburn at 2:30. There are a number of folks that I want you to remember in your prayers, please, at this time. I wanted you to remember our brother Sammy Lewis, who's back in hospital. Remember Sammy at this time, please, and pray that God will strengthen him and be with him. Also want you to remember Stephen McVeigh's granny, who is unwell in hospital as well. And also Jeannie and Ken's nephew, Barry, who's very unwell just at this time, a young lad, very unwell. I want you to remember Barry. His little daughter comes to our Explorers Club on a Tuesday night. And also our brother Billy Tanner's mum is very unwell in hospital just now. And so we want you to remember Billy's mum and the family in your prayers, please. And these announcements, as all, are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing together the words of hymn number 58. The page is 199. Words will be also on the screen. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Hymn number 58, and we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand and sing. We have two scripture readings today, and our sister Laura is going to bring scripture reading from Psalm 46, and then also Brother Mark will read from Isaiah chapter 6. Laura, thank you.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a coal in his hands, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye in the deed, but perceive not.
And our thanks to Laura and to Mark for reading the scriptures to us today. It is the words of Isaiah chapter 6 that Mark read to us there at the end that we want to consider this morning. When we think of the subject of when a monarch dies, you see, this sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah brings us to a time of crisis in the nation. Mark read in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. The monarch has passed away, and as a result, the nation has been plunged into national grief and mourning. King Uzziah reigned for 52 years. It was a good reign, a godly reign. But that reign has now come to an end in the year that King Uzziah died. And I think the events that we have in Isaiah chapter 6 are events that we all as a nation can identify with today. In this year, in the year of our Lord 2022, into the 71st year of the reign of Queen Elizabeth II, she died. Our monarch, our sovereign, has passed away. The good and the godly reign of Queen Elizabeth II has come to an end. And as a nation, we have been plunged into a time of change and challenge as well. And this morning, as we consider the words of Isaiah 6, as we consider how the nation dealt with the death of King Uzziah, there are important lessons for us as a nation and as a people today, I believe, as to how we can handle the death of our monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. I want you to see, first of all, in these words, that there is the sadness that is evident. The sadness that is evident. King Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah. He was a godly king for most of his reign. He was highly influential, and commentators would tell us that he was highly influenced, especially by the prophet Zechariah. And unlike many of the other kings of Judah, King Uzziah did not depart from the ways and the worship of the true God. As a result, God blessed the nation under his reign. And under his reign, the southern kingdom had attained great power and wealth and great success. Now, sadly, such successes went to the head of King Uzziah, and towards the end of his reign, he became very proud of his successes, and after 52 years, his reign came to an end. But if you read the words of Isaiah 6 and verse 1 again, in the year King Uzziah died, there is a sense of sadness. The tone of these words is that of sadness. That despite King Uzziah's poor end, that his good reign had now come to an end. And his death disturbed the prophet Isaiah. And for Isaiah and the entire nation, it's a time of uncertainty now, a time of doubt, a time of change. The death of the monarch brought mourning. And since the news broke on Thursday evening past, just after 6:30, that our monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, had died, it ushered in a time of great mourning and sadness across our nation and in many hearts. It was one of those times that we will never forget where we were when we heard, in many ways, the sudden passing of our monarch. We saw the pictures of Her Majesty on Tuesday welcoming in our new Prime Minister. And then just a few days we hear of her death. Her death has quite rightly and properly brought sadness to our nation. And we are in a time of mourning. That sadness is evidenced by the many who have turned up to many of the royal palaces across our country in order to lay floral tributes to our late monarch. It is right and proper that we mourn and we grieve our majesty, just as Isaiah did in that year that King Uzziah died. But not only is there the sadness that is evident here, I want you to see something else in Isaiah 6. There's the sovereign that is enduring. Because in the midst of the sadness, Isaiah saw another sovereign. You see, an earthly king may have died, but he saw the Lord God Almighty was still on his throne. Because in verse 1 we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, where was he? Sitting upon a throne. You see, he saw the Lord in all of his glory, his pomp and his majesty. He saw the enduring reign of the everlasting King. Across our nation today, people at this time of national mourning and sadness are turning to many other people, turning to many organizations, and turning to many other things. But oh, what is this time of national grief that many would turn their eyes to the Lord. And oh, that our nation would turn back to God. Oh, that our nation today would see the Lord sovereign who is reigning upon his throne over all the affairs of men and nations. As Gavin has already intimated, Her Majesty sought to instill within her subjects great high morals. She clearly was a lady with high moral standards and a monarch who sought by the best of her ability to lead our nation in the ways of God. Throughout her speeches, she often turned the people to Christ. She often spoke about her faith. I'm told that the Christmas speeches were one of the few speeches that she actually wrote herself. Many other speeches she had to make were political, were written for her by her government, but her Christmas speeches were actually written by herself. And I think that reveals a very interesting fact. In her first broadcast as queen, she uttered this prayer for herself. She says, "Pray for me, that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I shall faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. She put the Lord first. And often in her Christmas speeches throughout her reign, she spoke about the death and the birth of Christ. In December 2000, she said, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life." In 2011, in another one of her speeches, she said, "God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive." And she often spoke about Christ bringing hope. And it is reported, just in August of this year, that she said, "Throughout my life, the message and the teachings of Christ have been my guide, and in them I find hope." What she was doing was seeking to turn eyes to the Savior. And today, as a nation, as we mourn the death of our monarch, how much we need to turn our eyes to see that while our earthly monarch has died, yet the Lord God omnipotent still reigneth today. We need to see the Lord. We need our eyes to be turned to see him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. What a testimony that would be for these islands of ours, if many would be able to say that in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, I saw also the Lord. That by faith our eyes would be lifted heavenward to see the enduring and the everlasting reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, as Isaiah mourned, his heart was lifted as his eyes were lifted to see Christ on the throne of heaven. We see the place where he saw the enduring sovereign. Verse 1, it takes place in the temple. His train filled the temple in the house of God. In the place of worship, he saw Christ. There are many great instructions there for the church. The church is to be that place where Christ is lifted on high. What a challenge for us. That through our activities, that Christ would be lifted on high. This is a time, I believe, for the church to turn to Christ. This is a time for the people of God to tell the message of Christ. The church, as the churches in the book of Revelation, need to point to Christ, the one who's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You see, the church needs to be that light at a time of darkness, because we have the true light, the true message, that is the message of Christ. And may God send us at this time of grief and sorrow and mourning an outpouring of his Holy Spirit and turn many to Christ, that many would get back to Christ and back to the cross of Christ. Our nation, you see, today needs Christ. They don't know it. We need to tell them. At a time of grief and sorrow, church needs to be that shining light. And as our little witness here in Ballyhackamore in East Belfast, may we be that shining light for Christ, and setting him forth, and setting forth his gospel. You see the place, but also the preeminence. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. He saw the sovereign ruler, the one who reigns over all. On Thursday past, our nation The nations of the realms and commonwealth lost a much loved and highly respected monarch. But thank God today, Christ is still on his throne. Earthly kingdoms may fade and flee, but his endureth forever the same. His is a kingdom without end. His is a reign that will never cease. You see, the reality is today, if Christ was not on his throne, we would have no hope. If in the year that King Uzziah died, he didn't see the Lord, he couldn't see the Lord, there would be no hope. You see what happened? Was it that year that King Uzziah died? When it seemed to all around that the nation was falling apart, Isaiah realized God's still in control. And yes, we fear for our land and for our nation. But always remember today, God is still in control. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. You see also the presence. In verse 4, we're told that the house was filled with smoke. That's a symbol of the presence of God. In verse 1, it talks about God's train filling the temple. It speaks about his robe. You see, he was the central figure in the temple, in this place of worship. Isaiah was reminded that King Uzziah might be gone, but the Lord was still there. He had not forsaken, even in the time of national grief and sorrow. The Lord was still there in his great glory. We need to remember that truth as well. Thank God today for the Lord Shema, the Lord who is there. The Lord who is still with us. And in this time of grief and loss, we can still turn to him. And may these be times like never before when we would turn to him. We have national darkness because of the death of Her Majesty. Thank God today there is the presence of God still with us. May God be pleased to turn our nation back to himself. And may our nation in repentance and contrition acknowledge the sins of the past. May we acknowledge the sins that have come between us and God. May we, like Isaiah was, be humbled, be broken when he said in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone." God, give us as a people and as a nation brokenness over our sin, and for God's sake, for Christ's sake, may he be merciful to us. There's the sadness that is evident here, and there's the sovereign that is enduring here. Important lessons, I believe, for us as a people and as a nation. Yes, there's sadness, but the Lord is still ruling and reigning today. But finally, as we close, there is the service that is essential. You see, at this time of national crisis and grief in the land of Judah, Isaiah realized that he still had a work to do. There was a service that was essential. This was not a time for leaving off the work of God. This was not a time for slacking off. This was a time for renewed service and vigor. In verse number 6, we read about his ability for service. His lips were touched with that live coal from off the altar. If Isaiah was going to be God's spokesman and his representative at this time of grief and loss in this nation, he needed the Lord's help to do it. And folks, if we are going to serve the Lord, in this day, this generation, we are going to need the help of Almighty God to do it. And his help is there. We see his availability for service in verse number 8. He says, "Here am I, send me." He was willing to lead this people through this time of national grief and mourning. I wonder, are we available for service today? Are we available to serve the Lord? Are we willing to serve the Lord? Will we take the light of the gospel to our communities, to our neighborhoods, to our district, to our city, to our province that so desperately needs hope today? We see his activity for service in verse 9. He said, go and tell. Go and tell this people. What an activity to be involved in. To go and tell the people of the Lord God who is still reigning. To go and tell the people whose hearts are heavy and broken that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is comfort and consolation to be found, and it is found alone in Jesus Christ. What an activity today to be engaged in the master service of telling others about Jesus Christ. Our nation needs to hear about him today. If you're in this meeting today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you need him today. You need to turn your heart and life to him. He's the one who's the healer of broken hearts. He's the one who's the savior of souls. Is he your savior this morning? When your life falls apart and your heart aches and breaks as often it does, where do you turn? Praise God, today we can still turn to the Lord. He is there. Will you turn to him today? Will you give your heart and life over to him? And we who know and love the Lord, may we pray that God would turn our nation to him. You see, when a monarch dies, there's sadness that is evident. It is right. It is right to mourn and grieve the passing of Her Majesty. There is the sovereign that is enduring. We need to see that although our earthly monarch may be gone, that the Lord is still upon His throne today. And there is the service that is essential. We need to go and tell those hearts that are broken, our fellow countrymen and women, our neighbors, our friends, that Jesus Christ saves. That He alone has the words of eternal life. We mourn, we grieve the loss of our sovereign Queen Elizabeth II. May God be pleased to touch the heart of our new monarch, King Charles III, and may he lead our nation in the ways of God, as his late mother sought to do. But most of all, may we turn our eyes to see a greater throne and see a greater king, that one before whom every knee one day will bow, and every tongue one day will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day every one of us will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How will it be for you on that day? Have you made that preparation in life? Have you given your heart and life over to Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet him? If not, then today may you come and receive him. Accept him into your heart. Accept his offer of forgiveness and redemption, salvation that's offered in the gospel. May you today see the Lord. And may our nation, a nation which I know is grieving and mourning, may our nation and our people see the Lord high and lifted up. May many eyes be turned to behold the sovereign who still reigns, and that one before whom all one day will stand. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. May that be the testimony of all of our hearts today, because of the time of our monarch and her passing. May we see the Lord on his throne. Let's bow and pray.